This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
From APM in New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary with the Marketplace Midday Update. In last night's State of the Union speech, President Obama focused on income inequality, wages, jobs, and the U.S. middle class. And yes, he did get around to his signature domestic policy achievement, the Affordable Care Act. Here he is talking about enrollment.
More than 9 million Americans have signed up for private health insurance or Medicaid coverage. 9 million.
I've got Marketplace's healthcare reporter Dan Gorenstein here with me live to do a little fact-checking. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Lizzie.
All right, 9 million. How solid is that number?
Yeah, you can slip into some quicksand real fast here, Lizzie. Look, let's be clear. Technically, 9 million is accurate. About 3 million people have enrolled through the federal or state health exchanges, and about 6 million have signed up for Medicaid, the program that's primarily for the low-income Americans. But remember, here's the thing. Insurance isn't static. People are signing up and re-enrolling all the time. So 9 million doesn't really mean 9 million new people have signed up. For example, Medicaid, some people are getting access due to the Medicaid expansion, which started this year. But some already had Medicaid and are just re-enrolling. These numbers should get clear, though, in the next couple of months.
One of the goals of the ACA was to get coverage for people who didn't have insurance before. Do we know how many new people are getting insurance?
Look, that's another unknown, Lizzie. Earlier this month, a survey came out from McKinsey & Company showing that only about 11% of people who bought policies on the exchanges were previously uninsured. Let's remember, though, those numbers are not confirmed, and it's expected to change by the March 31st deadline.
The president also said if misfortune strikes, you don't have to lose everything. Kind of the point of insurance. Put some numbers behind that for us.
Yet that line needs some context. Under the ACA, they're out-of-pocket maximums for how much you're going to have to pay if things get really bad, about $6,000 for an individual, $13,000 for a family. But those caps don't apply if you see a doctor who isn't in your network. We all know, Lizzie, that healthcare is really complicated, and people have got to understand how this works.
So you're watching it for us. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Well, staying in the D.C. arena, a new version of the Farm Bill is set for a vote today in the House of Representatives. The bill's 2 years in the making. It includes a cut in automatic payments made to farmers each year. But as Marketplace's David Gura reports, reforming subsidies might not save the government much money.
For almost two decades, farmers have gotten what are called direct payments from the government. That's a check from Uncle Sam no matter what.
With direct payments, you got paid the payment even if you had great yields and high prices.
Art Barnaby teaches agricultural economics at Kansas State University. Last year, those direct payments cost taxpayers about $4.5 billion. Bruce Babcock's an economics professor at Iowa State. He says crop insurance is one of the things that would replace those payments, and that would be a big deal.
But it's not clear that it's actually getting the government at all out of the subsidy business.
That's because these payments would be tied to commodity prices, so they'd fluctuate. Taxpayers would save money when prices are high, Babcock explains.
But if they fall significantly, we will be spending a lot more money on farm subsidies than we would have under the old programs.
And when ag prices fall, they don't tend to rebound overnight. Babcock says it's likely we'd face many years of high subsidy payments. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Get ready for a digital land rush. More than 1,000 new internet addresses called top-level domains are about to become available. Not just .com, .org, but things like even .singles, .guru, maybe .lizzie? Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Starting today, a regular Joe small bike shop owner will be able to buy a web address that's really specific to his business.
Are you Joe?
Yeah.
So this is Joe Dobley, and we're here at Joe Bike, his high-end cycling store in Portland, Oregon. His website's joe-bike.com, pretty good. So does he need joebike.bike? Isn't that kind of overkill?
I mean, immediately, who would be looking at Dot Bike? I mean, I'm not going to invest in a destination that people don't even know exists.
But then I tell him it'll probably cost less than $50 a year, and Joe says it probably is worth getting to stake out his brand in case Dot Bike does take off. Other new top-level domains go on sale this week, including Dot Clothing and Dot Photography. By next year, there'll be well over 1,000 more in foreign scripts and for major brands like Dot Apple. Most new domain names will cost $10 to $40 a year, but some hot ones will push into the tens of thousands to buy, like Dot Buzz.
I don't think there's a strong need for the additional extensions. I just think it's a easy way to build a high-margin business if you're the person that's selling them.
Aaron Wall is an expert in search engine optimization, and he thinks consumers will be confused, so they'll keep clicking to the standard .coms and .orgs that they know and trust. Kieran McCarthy worked at the international nonprofit that's in charge of this massive internet expansion. He's certain the new domains will catch on and make it easier for people to connect to their communities and interests online.
And so if you run a bike shop or if you're just a bike fanatic, you'll say, well, I'll get .bike. With all of these extensions, I think the internet will start reflecting our lives, what goes on in life, more closely.
McCarthy says new top-level domains in foreign scripts, like Cyrillic and Arabic, will expand global use and ownership of the internet as well. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
You can check out stories and fact checks on the big issues in the State of the Union at our website, which is still marketplace.org. In New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary with the Marketplace Midday Update.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.